The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
So I'm preaching on the topic of hell this morning. Probably one of the least preached about topics, especially in the generation we live. It's not a popular topic because nobody likes to talk about hell. But the Scriptures command us as preachers to preach the whole counsel of God. And we talk about it sometimes, but probably more and more, as I've already said, that we don't spend a lot of time preaching on it and seeing what the Scriptures have to say. So Luke chapter 16... in our Bibles, if you'd follow along as I'm going to begin reading on verse number 19. Wait for you to get it. It's near the back of the Bible, girls, if you're looking for it. Luke chapter 16. It's in the New Testament. Near the back. Thank you, Cal, if you'll do that. Appreciate it. Everybody just get a moment to get there. Okay, Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that ye which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you'd help me as I preach the message this morning, that it would be real to us, that we would understand that there are two destinations for every human being, heaven or hell, and that we'd not take the message lightly, that truly those of us that have received Christ as our Savior, as the message is preached, we could rejoice in the fact that because we've accepted Christ by faith, our sins have been forgiven, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that we will never, ever have to face going to this place that the Bible calls hell. Lord, use this message to stir our hearts on the need for the gospel to be preached throughout the world. And truly, if there be one here today that has never received Christ, help them to realize that without Him there is no hope, only eternity in this place we're about to talk and preach about today. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and that you'd help me as I preach the message and help us to be attentive. Amen. First, let me start off by saying I put on your handout a quote out of the book of Ezekiel. If you just quickly look at that, Ezekiel chapter number 33 and verse 11. The Bible says there, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, that I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked man turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" I don't believe in all my heart that the Lord takes pleasure in people who die and go to hell. In fact, the Scriptures tell us in the New Testament that He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent, come to know Him as their Savior. But we also know this, that the Scriptures also tell us in the book of Matthew that Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The reality is this morning is this, that even in this congregation this morning, with this group of people, there is a likelihood that there may be someone here who has never received Christ as their Savior. You are under the condemnation of God. And God has said in His Word that to die under the condemnation of God is to go to a place called hell. So let's look at a few things this morning, and then you'll find as we finish the message, it'll end on a positive note, because there's hope in Christ Jesus. Amen, congregation? Amen. Amen. So the message, I titled it, because I've been preaching, and our campaign on Saturdays has been the Highway and Hedges campaign. One of the reasons we go out into the highways and hedges and invite people to come to church, and the reason for that is because there's a place called hell. And people will go there and are going there. So if there was a subtitle to the message, I would have titled it The Five Cannots of Hell. The Five Cannots of Hell. So number one is this. You notice on your handout, we'll see from the Scriptures. You cannot exaggerate the horrors of hell. They cannot be exaggerated. There's certain things in life you can exaggerate. If you're a fisherman, oftentimes you can exaggerate a fish story, right? Over time, the fish that you caught, which was this big, ends up being maybe this big, and then maybe it ends up this big. Or if you're a hunter, you know, the deer that you saw in the woods, it was the biggest deer that the world has ever seen. So there are certain things you can exaggerate. But there's one thing you can't exaggerate upon. You can't exaggerate on the horrors of hell. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 9, the Apostle Paul said this. He said that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for him. In other words, that's about heaven. You and I, we only get a glimpse of heaven in the Bible. The wonders of heaven and the greatness of heaven and the glory of heaven and the beauty and the splendor of heaven. Until you and I arrive on the shores of heaven, we'll not really fully understand just how wonderful heaven is. But if you take that and you flip it around to talking about hell, you can't exaggerate about the horrors of hell. The darkness of hell is darker than anything you could ever imagine. And the loneliness of hell, it's darker than anything you could ever imagine. And the heat of hell is darker, hotter than anything you could ever imagine. And the length of hell, well, it's eternal, we'll see that. You can't even fathom that. Now you notice in the text, look at verse number 23, verse number 24, verse number 25, and verse number 28. Four times in the text, the word torment is used. Torments, tormented, the place of torment. The original languages, if you study that word out, it's a word that they certainly would have understood in New Testament times when it was read. It literally means, torment is a word that's used to mean an instrument of torture. It's a word that means a place of excruciating pain, mental and even physical pain. It was a word that was used when they would talk about putting somebody on the rack. You know, if you've ever seen an old movie or read anything about the medieval times, they would put people on what was called a rack. It's a very unpleasant thought. But they would attach their feet to one end and they would attach their arms to another end, and they would begin to crank on that rack and stretch a person. Or I remember studying in the book of Jonah, and one of the reasons that Jonah did not want to go to the Ninevites and preach to the Ninevites is because the Ninevites tortured people. The Ninevites would often take, sometimes they would take elephants or some kind of another wild beast, and they would take a human being and torture them in such an awful way. They would take their arm and they would tie it to one animal, and this arm to another animal, and their feet to two separate animals, and then they would drive the animals, and they would literally torture people by pulling them apart. It's horrible. The word torment's a very strong word. Very strong. In the Gospel of Matthew, if you notice on your handout, chapter number 13 and verse 42, you don't need to turn there, but Jesus used these terms. He said there would be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's an illustration. It's a parable that Jesus gave about the sower and sowing the seed. In fact, that whole chapter is about that. He gives several illustrations. That was where he said the seed sower went forth and he sowed seed, and some seed fell by the wayside, and some seed fell on stony ground, and some seed fell, and then the thorns grew up. But some of that seed did fall on good ground, and then it took root. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he explains that, and he says, you know, the seed that falls on the wayside, that's the Word of God. And just like seed that would fall on the wayside, the birds would come and pluck up that seed. Or it would fall on the stony ground, and the sun would come up, and it would parch the seed so it couldn't grow. Or some of the seed that fell, the weeds would grow up. And he said, well, that the seed was the Word of God that was going forth, the preaching of the Word of God. And for some people, they would hear it, but it would get snatched away from them before they could make a decision. Or for some, the heat would come up and it wouldn't, or it wouldn't take root. Or the cares of this world, he said, that would be they would be so involved in the cares of this world that it wouldn't take root. And in that same chapter, he talks about the tares and the wheat. And that at the end of the earth, the end of the world, the end of the age, that they would be separated. So there he said, the tares, they are the children of the wicked one, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest, he says, is the end of the world. And he said, that separation, those who rejected the seed, rejected the Word of God, there would be the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. That word wailing, that gnashing of teeth, like to grind your teeth. Because of so much anguish and so much pain. You see, as much as I can try to preach it to you like that, we can't imagine that. You can't exaggerate on the horrors of hell. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 44 on your handout, Jesus talked about a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Undoubtedly, Jesus was quoting out of Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 60 or 24 when he talked about that. And the image of a worm that is there, it refers to worms that are feeding upon dead carcasses. It's a horrible place, but it's a real place. It's a place that exists today. It's a place that right now, as you and I sit here in the comfort of this building, sitting under the preaching of the Word of God, that there are people who are there now who rejected Christ. People who are there now experiencing what the Bible calls here this place of torment and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth and where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And so in Luke chapter 16, we get just a glimpse of this. But notice this also on the back of your handout now as we move through these points. Listen, hell is a place that you can never get out of. You can never get out of this place called hell. You'll be in this place called hell forever and forever and forever and forever. Notice in verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And now look at verse 26. And he said, And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which should pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. A great gulf fixed. That phrase there, in the word great in the Greek is mega, and the word gulf is chasm. It's the words we get, a mega chasm, a huge chasm that's impassable. You can never get out of hell. Never. Never, ever can you get out of hell. It is a place of everlasting. And you can't, you notice what it said there in the middle of the verse 26. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us. There's a false doctrine that teaches that at some point down the line that there will be a final restoration of all humanity, even those that have gone to hell. The scriptures don't teach that. They don't teach that. In Matthew chapter 25 and verses 41 and 46 on your handout, I wrote it here for you. Jesus said this, Then shall they say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed. You notice that word there into, say it out loud. Look on your handout. What is that word I have underlined? Say it out loud with me. Ever, what? Yeah, everlasting. Everlasting. That's without end. Which was originally prepared for the devil and his angels, and these shall go away into, say it again. And what's the next word? But the righteous into life eternal. By the way, it's a duration without end. It's the same everlasting we find in John 3:16, where it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the same idea. I'm thankful, I hope you are too, that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and what a wonderful truth that is, that Jesus came and died and he paid for our sins, that the eternal life that we have because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it's eternal. It is everlasting. But the flip side of that, now listen, the flip side of that, without Christ, you'll spend forever and forever. It's a place you can't escape. There's a great gulf fixed. And then, thirdly, you can't ignore hell. Some people want to ignore hell. Some people just, they don't want to think about it. You can't ignore it, this place of torment. To ignore hell is to ignore the Bible. Some people say this, they say, Oh, I just can't believe that a loving God would send people to hell. In fact, some people, they reject Christianity because of that. Where some people who claim to be, no, I just don't think, they claim to be Christians, I just don't think God would do that. God's too loving and too good. And especially in our culture, because we live in a fairly safe culture, we don't at least up till now, we don't sense the oppression that some of our brethren around the world sense. We have a hard time understanding and thinking that God would punish people that way. We kind of look around and we have a higher opinion of ourselves than we ought to. That we're really not deserving of this place called hell. You know, in the last month, I've been able, I was asked to give my, I gave my testimony twice. You know, I said to someone, they asked for volunteers or preachers to get up at the preacher's meeting I was at Friday and just to give a word of testimony. And I have, it seems the older I get and the longer I've walked with the Lord, it gets harder and harder for me to give my testimony. It's never really been easy because God's been so good to me. But the longer I walk with the Lord, the longer I've read the Bible, the more I understand about the grace and mercy of God, the more undeserving I realize as each year goes by I am of going to heaven. There is nothing about me that deserves to go to heaven. And I think I was talking with a friend of mine at the conference that I was at, I said, I think one of the reasons too is the older that you get and the longer that you walk with the Lord and you experience life and you experience and you see what could have been. You see people's lives that are consumed with sin. You see people's lives that have been ruined and destroyed by sin. You see people who aren't even alive today because of sin. And then you realize, because I was saved at 24 years old, you realize that there but for the grace of God go I. That's why it becomes harder and harder. And I become more and more thankful. Because the truth of the matter, that this man was on his way to a place called hell, where he would have spent forever and forever and forever. This man, from the time he was a teenager to his early 20s, tried to ignore all of that. But you can't ignore it. To ignore it is to ignore the Bible. And then sometimes, because we've received Christ, we've always become callous to the fact or hardened to the fact that you have a child that may be going to hell, or a mother or a father that may be going to hell, or a brother or sister that may be going to hell, or that person that you stand next to at work, that they don't know Christ and they're going to hell, or that person that's your friend, that they're going to hell. And in some ways, while people who have not received Christ, they ignore hell, but sometimes you and I as believers, we ignore it as well. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to think about that person who's close to us and who we love, who's rejected Christianity, who's rejected Christ, who's rejected the Bible. We don't like to think about that because the reality is that they, for all of eternity, will be in a place called hell. You can't ignore it. And I think one of the great torments of hell is this too. If you noticed there in the text where he says, look at in verse 25, and Abraham says, son, he's talking now to the rich man, remember that thou in thy lifetime. So apparently we learn this from hell. When you're there, you remember your lifetime. You remember what happened. You remember. I think it's one of the great torments of hell. You remember. You remember. Those people who reject Christ, they'll remember the day that someone gave them a gospel tract and they had that opportunity to read through it. They'll remember that. They'll remember that day that somebody witnessed to them and tried to share the faith of Jesus Christ with them. They'll remember that. They'll remember the day that they got invited to a gospel preaching church and the preacher preached his heart out and begged people to get saved. And they were there that day, but that day, they just moved on and tried to ignore it. Abraham says to this, remember? Don't you remember? Don't you remember? In fact, and he says, look at verse 28. This man who's in hell, he says, I have five brethren that he may testify unto them. Apparently, this man had been testified to by Lazarus. He had told him. It was too late now. I was thinking this morning as I was reviewing my notes that Paul, he preached to King Agrippa, and he said, Agrippa, don't, he gave him the gospel, he gave him his life, he gave him how he had been saved on the road to Damascus out of the religion of Judaism, and he had come to know Christ. And he said, King Agrippa, don't you believe? He says, I know that thou believest. I know that you believe this. You remember what Agrippa said to him? Almost thou persuadest me. Almost. And Agrippa went off into eternity. I can't imagine, but all through eternity, King Agrippa must be thinking, almost. Almost, but almost is not good enough. You can't ignore hell. You can't ignore it. And for you young people, be careful of this lie. Well, when I get to hell, my friends will be there and we'll just party forever and forever and forever and have a great old time. That's a lie right out of the pits of hell. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt, based upon the scriptures, that anyone that's there doesn't want anyone else to come. Because the rich man said, just send someone to tell my five brethren. Just tell someone. That's what he said in verse number 28. Look what he said. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Look what he says in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. It's interesting, but all of a sudden this man in hell becomes a praying man. Except it's too late. He's praying on the wrong side of eternity. He didn't want any company. I think the idea that, oh, here I am experiencing this, the last thing I want is for my family, my friends, the last thing I want is for them to come. That's why for me at a funeral, sometimes it's a wonderful thing to do a funeral for a believer. I've done some funerals for unbelievers, and I've done some funerals for folks that I'm not sure whether they were saved or not. But I can say based upon the scriptures at every funeral that I ever preach, that whoever that deceased person is, that the most important decision that they would want for every person to make is to receive Christ, whether they're saved or whether they're lost. Because if they're lost and they're in hell, on the basis of what the scriptures say here, the last thing that they would want for their friends and family to follow them to this place. You cannot escape hell except you believe the Bible. So we look again at verse 28. He says, oh, I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. You would think that would be the case, wouldn't you? Someone who rose from the dead. I don't have time this morning, but you look it up in the Gospel of John chapter 12. When Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus 4 days after Lazarus was dead, and they said to him, Lord, he stinketh. He's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth out of the grave. You know what the Bible says there after that? The priests wanted to kill Lazarus. You would think everyone that knew Lazarus and he had died and he had come out of the grave, that would have been a sign to them. Well, this must be true. The priests wanted to kill him. Because that he had risen from the dead, there were those that were turning to Christ. So this whole idea of, oh, God would just show me a miracle, I would believe. Well, he rose from the dead. He's given us the scriptures. That's what Abraham said. That's what it means when it says in verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the writings of Moses, Genesis, and Exodus, and Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They have the writings of the prophets that were given. Let them read the prophets. They are they which speak of me. That's what Jesus said in the Gospels. Search the Scriptures, he said. For in them they, you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He wasn't referring to the New Testament when he said that. It hadn't been written yet. He was referring to the Old Testament. The Scriptures. Faith, the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to those which are saved, it is the power of God. There will always be those that say, it's foolish, it's silly, I don't believe it. But then there will be those down through eternity who come to terms with the fact that they're sinners, unclean, and that there is a place called heaven, just as surely there is a place called hell. And without Christ, every person goes to that place. So you can't escape hell unless except you believe the Bible, the Word of God. Verse 30, and he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if they had one that went from the dead, they will repent. And he said, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Listen, there are people being risen from the dead every single day of our lives. You know that? That there are people being, if you're born again this morning, whatever that day that took place, you rose from the dead. All throughout history. Because, the Bible says you and I, we're dead in our sin and our trespasses. And Jesus comes. And the Holy Spirit comes. And the preaching of the Word comes. And we have new life from Christ. Lives are changed. All through this community, you have friends, especially if you came to know Christ later on in life like I did, whether you were 24 or 34 or 44 or 54, you have friends that used to know you before you were a Christian, and now they know you as a Christian. They can't sometimes figure it out, but really what they've witnessed is you've been risen from, you rose from the dead. You're different. You've been changed. So there's the witness of that. And you share your faith with them. At least I hope that you do. Don't ignore hell. And then others come to know Christ. So, real quickly, you cannot exaggerate the horrors of hell. It's a horrible place. A place of torment. A place of agony. Probably the most famous sermon ever preached in the United States of America was called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Wasn't preached too far from here, just down in northern Connecticut, by Jonathan Edwards. He preached it. He wasn't a dynamic preacher from what I read, but he spent 3 days from what I read in fasting and prayer before he preached that message. And when he preached that message, it was so real to those people that it was described in that church scene as some of them were hanging onto their pews for fear of falling into hell. It would be good if it was real to you and I a little bit more each day. We'd be a little bit more grateful for what Jesus has done for us. We'd be a little bit more fervent in our desire for our family and our friends, our neighbors. You cannot exaggerate the horrors of hell. You'll be there forever and forever and forever. You can't ignore it. You can't escape except you believe the Word of God. And that brings us to the last point. You cannot go to hell if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't go there. Why not? Don't you still deserve to go there? I do. But Jesus died and paid for my sin. I'm not going to hell because not based on the merits of Eric Malachuk. I'm not going to hell based on the merits of Jesus. He died for me. He paid for my sin and He paid for your sin. He hung on the cross so you wouldn't have to go to hell. He hung on the cross dying and paying for your sin. In the scriptures in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 it says, and 12 and 13 it says, and this is the record. Here's the record. That God hath given to us eternal life. Not eternal damnation, not an everlasting hell, but God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What is He talking about? He's meaning you must understand that you're a sinner. You must understand that Jesus died and He paid for your sin. You must understand that when by faith you're, and by when the Holy Spirit convinces and convicts you of that, you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross and all of your sin was placed upon Him and He was paying for you. And when you trust in Him, the record says you have eternal life. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. These things, the Bible says, have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life and that ye believe in the name of the Son of God. Listen, let me finish with this. Unbelief is not due to a lack of evidence. Unbelief is due to a rebellious heart. And I want to say to you this morning, as we finish this message, we see this rich man, the rich man in Lazarus. The rich man is still in hell today, 2,000 years later. I don't know what happened to his five brethren. But 2,000 years later, just like King Agrippa. Agrippa, I know that thou believest these things. Almost, Paul. Almost you persuadeth me. Almost. Well, what about you this morning? Do you know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that when you die, you're going to heaven? If I was to ask you that, if I was to come up to you, and I was to say, I'll use you as an example, Cal, do you know for sure, you don't need to answer, but do you know for sure that if you were to die today, that you're on your way to heaven? I've asked that question to people, and then they'll say, yeah, I think I know. And I'll ask them, well, could you tell me how you know? And then they can't. Or they'll say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I don't go to church all the time, but I go on the holidays, and or, you know, I've done this or I've done that. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Do you know? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. It's an awful place. But let me tell you about an awesome God. I've told you about Him. Jesus, the Son of God. Listen, boys and girls, men and women, Jesus came to die and pay for your sin. If you're here and you say, you couldn't answer that question, you say, preacher, I'm not sure if I was to die, I'm going to go to heaven. But God's been speaking to my heart. I'd like to be sure. If that's you, would you do this? You say, preacher, I want to be sure. I don't understand it all, but I understand that I'm a sinner. And if you don't, listen, to be a sinner just means that you're sinful by nature. That's why you do wrong things. We're all sinners. This preacher is a sinner. That's why I needed Jesus. Only Jesus never sinned. But He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to save you. He wants you to have eternal life. He knows everything about you. Well, I don't know how He could love me. He does. The Bible says He does. And there's no greater way that He could display that love but to be nailed to that cross 2,000 years ago. And the Bible says all your sin, all your wrongdoing, He died for that. If you hear and you say, well, I'd like to be sure, because I'm not sure this morning. Would you do this? I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to point you out. But if that's you, maybe God's speaking to your heart, you say, preacher, I want to know for sure that I'm saved. Would you just slip up your hand, anyone at all, and put it down? I want to know for sure that I'm saved. I want to know for sure. You can put your hand down. I want to know for sure. I understand there's a place called hell, and I understand there's a place called heaven. And I understand that without Christ, I could spend eternity in a place called hell. I'd like to know how I receive Christ. Anyone else? Put up your hand and put it down. God's speaking to my heart right now, preacher. I'm not sure. Then for you Christians, for me, for you, wow. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. Don't ever forget that. When you go to work tomorrow, wherever you're working next to you, just think about the fact that one day you're going to depart and you're going to go to heaven. Where are they going to go? And your neighbor down the street, one day you're going to depart and you're going to go to heaven. Where are they going to go? Your schoolmate, young people, one day you're gonna depart because you've received Christ and you're gonna go to heaven. Where are your schoolmate gonna go? Your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your uncles, your aunts. Where are they gonna go? Or do we just want to ignore it? The rich man ignored it his whole life. And then it was too late. It was just too late. There comes a time, it's just too late. Too late. Father, bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts in a very real and powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.